GM on White postgame show with Tom Gazzola and Connor Halley. Text 101260 or call 444-1260 on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
Wow, what a finish. What a finish indeed to cap off a super busy Saturday in the National Hockey League. The Oilers win it in spectacular fashion thanks to Connor McDavid. 4-3 is your final. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show. Tom Gazzola, Matt Cassian, Connor Halley with you as we break down Edmonton's 10th win of the season. The Oil improved to 10-8 with that victory. A tough game against a solid Golden Knights team. A Golden Knights team that had just one loss on the road to this point. They get an overtime loss tonight. And the Oilers go on the road and finish up this brief homestand 1-1. As always, you can hit us up at the inbox 101260. All we ask is you put your name on that text, and then the phone lines are open, 444-1260. Don Wheaton, GM on White, your dealer for Cadillac, Buick, Chevrolet, and GMC. Let's go to the tail of the tape on this one from the Edmonton Oilers. Whew, that was something. I'll tell you what, a great finish to a pretty solid game. It had its moments. And the Golden Knights are an excellent team. So far this season, the Oilers were up for the task. Warren Fogle would open up the scoring, showing us that this Oilers team was actually ready to start a game. They get the first goal at a minute 56. Fogle's third from Nugent Hopkins and Ryan Murray. That lead would last until the 16:22 mark of the first period. Keegan Kolesar has the Shea Theodore shot bounce off of him. Kind of a fortuitous bounce, but Kolesar goes to the right spot, front of the net, top of the crease. It bounces off of him and behind Stuart Skinner. Kolesar's third of the season. Theodore and Howden the assist. 1-1 to the second period we go. Mark Stone, who had a breakaway, gets hooked up by Ryan Murray. Again, it was shades of that first shift against LA when Anze Kopitar got that seam pass and had a breakaway. Well, same thing happened. Bad change by the Oilers. They get caught. Murray's chasing Stone. He gets the penalty shot. He buries it through the wickets of Stuart Skinner. Stone's got six on the air. That one coming at 4:09. 2-1 VGK at that point. Then at the 10:29 mark, the Oil come back. It's Leon Draisaitl, his 10th of the year, from Nurse and Nugent Hopkins. Nice play by Nugent Hopkins and Nurse. Good eye by Nurse to find Draisaitl in his spot. He outweights Aiden Hill and buries for goal number 10 of the year. So 2-2 after 2. The Oilers would be on the power play to start the third period. 38 seconds in, it would be Zach Hyman getting his 9th, taking advantage on a nice feed from Connor McDavid, and Nugent Hopkins picking up his 3rd point of the night. That's a power play marker. 3-2 Oil until the 11:33 mark, where the Oil can't get the puck out of the zone. Leon Draisaitl. Turnover at the blue line. Where have we heard that before? Even the best in the game are guilty of it. And Shea Theodore finds Mark Stone. He gets his 7th of the season, 2nd of the night at 11:33. Eichel, the second assist there. 3-3 to OT we go. A minute 17 in. Draisaitl to Nurse. Nurse to McDavid. And then just magic. Magic, of course. Connor McMagic. Looked like he was fighting the puck in the first two periods, and then you knew he would wake up, and sure enough, he saves his best for last. McDavid's got 16 on the year. The Oil win it 4-3 in OT. Shots on goal 34-23 in favor of the Vegas Golden Knights. The Vegas Golden Knights also the better team on the faceoff dot, 58-42%. Edmonton goes 1-for-3 on the power play. The PK! PK doing good work, going 3-for-3. Finally, the Oil with 31 hits to Vegas's 20. 16 block shots for Edmonton to 13 for Vegas. And then 24 giveaways for Edmonton to 11, officially for the Golden Knights. Let's welcome in our game analyst, former NHLer Matt Cassian. Cass, great finish, but the journey was an interesting one, not a bad one. Two good teams going head-to-head, and the Oilers come out on top. What'd you think of that game, sir?
I thought it was all right. I thought it was all right. It wasn't a perfect game by any stretch. They made some mistakes. They turned some pucks over, and I think that's really when they got into trouble. What happened was they turned pucks over at the blue line. But overall, like it was a pretty solid game, Tommy. It was a pretty solid game from the Oilers. I thought you saw McDavid and Draisaitl push. Yeah, I agree. McDavid fought the puck a little bit today more than I'm sure he would like or more than he normally does. But yeah, I mean, those two guys, you could see it. They put a little bit more in today than they did the other day, and they deserve the win. Again, wasn't a perfect game, but a great, great win against a really good team.
Cass, we know that the Golden Knights aren't necessarily the same systematic team that the LA Kings are, but what elements did you notice Edmonton kind of tweak, or where were they able to take advantage of Vegas that they obviously couldn't get going against the Kings team that stymied them?
Well, I think it was a little bit less stymieing. You know, not quite as suffocating on the defense side. Now that Vegas still plays I think they still play a good defensive game, but I don't think it's quite as frustrating playing against them as playing against LA. And I think a big thing was that you weren't down in the game as much, and you were in it the whole time. And against LA, you know, the second you're down, you're in one. Where I don't think that was the case tonight, and you managed to get that early goal with Fogel. And yes, after that, it's not perfect, but. Again, you weren't chasing the entire game. You were in it, and that forces Vegas to play a different way.
Yeah, what a difference! What a difference an early lead does to the rest of the game and the way you can play. And you know, we haven't seen that enough from the Edmonton Oilers. 10-12-60. If you want to get in on the conversation, things you might have noticed tonight from the Oilers compared to what you saw on Wednesday. Are you reassured after that win? Is it just a sigh of relief? The team does hit the road for a tough trip through the New York area. It starts on Monday against the New Jersey Devils, who are clicking and firing on all cylinders. We saw new lines tonight, Matt Cassian. McDavid had Janmark and Hyman with him. Draisaitl with Nugent Hopkins and Fogel. They got that early goal. McLeod had Kostin and Puljujarvi with him. And then Shore, Ryan, and Holloway didn't play a ton. Shore and Ryan more so than Holloway. Shore not so much. And same with Holloway in the third period. But it looked like Matthias Janmark had a bit of a jump in his step tonight, no?
Yeah. No, completely agree. He did. Not a perfect game from him either. I think a couple turnovers he might like back. But he had that jump. And on top of that jump, I would say he played that physical game a little bit. Like, he was engaged physically on the forecheck, which helps that line out. Was involved in the play, was around the net, and generally did some pretty good things out there. So I mean, I haven't seen, and we'd have to see the fancy stats on everything, but I would wager that he most likely was a little bit more involved and a little bit more involved in scoring chances than we've seen Puljujärvi recently.
Speaking of Puljujärvi, he was on a line, like I mentioned just a second ago, with McLeod and Kostin. Kostin continues to bring it, an element maybe the Oilers haven't necessarily had in the lineup. McLeod looked all right. Puljujärvi, you know, I thought was better suited for that line. But they had some moments. What are you seeing from Klim Kostin so far in his short tenure as an Oiler, Cass?
Well, you're seeing the physicality. I mean, that's the big thing from him is the physicality. He hits guys. When he hits them, he doesn't just kind of hit them. He hits them and he sticks. They're not little taps. He's not just kind of bouncing off guys. He's hitting them solidly. That's probably the biggest thing.
Howden real good.
Yeah, that was a big hit. And he took a couple too over the game, but I think just the being engaged, being a big body, big presence around the net, that to me has been the biggest thing from Kostin thus far.
All right, let's go into the inbox. 10-12-60, if you want to get in on the conversation, what you thought of that game. Were you reassured by the Oilers' performance? The result, I'm sure you're content with. The process, maybe you had some issue with it, but much better overall compared to what we saw Wednesday. 10-12-60. Slap your name on that text, please, and thank you. Phone lines are open, 444-1260. Let's go to Randy's text here. It says, thank goodness Edmonton has the human cheat code. when it comes to 3-on-3. I don't think they deserve to win that game. Skinner kept them in it. Cass, Randy, I completely agree with him on the human cheat code at 3-on-3 especially. And in terms of deserving to win the game, Randy doesn't think they necessarily did. They got the good goaltending from Skinner. I thought they had a good overall game, really. What would you say to Randy about the deserving to win the game?
Yeah, well, it was a good overall game. And yes, Stuart Skinner kept them in it. Now, I think in a game like this, in a game against a good team like LA, your goalie's going to need to make a couple good saves. Like you can't expect Vegas. You can't expect Vegas to not get some chances. You can't expect Vegas to not be in the offensive zone for extended period of times. At times, they're a very good team. Now, what you need in those instances is you need a goalie that makes some saves for you, and that's what you got in Stuart Skinner. So I wouldn't say the Oilers didn't deserve to win. I think they deserve to win, and that's why they won, and they won in overtime. As I said earlier, was it a perfect game? No. Did they turn too many pucks over the blue lines? Yes. Did they give up a few too many grade A chances? Yes. Did they do enough to win and deserve to win? Also, yes. I think you can have both there, Tom. I don't think it's an exclusive thing.
Yeah, the turnovers thing, I mean, there were some that were just them shooting themselves in the foot. But, you know, the Golden Knights, that's a good team. That's a hell of a lineup. And they do a good job of forcing some of those turnovers. But I agree, Cass, like some of the one that led to the go-ahead goal, or pardon me, the tying goal from Vegas, that's Leon Draisaitl. That's at the blue line. You can't have those. That's an unforced error on his part. Let's go to this tweet. Comes in from Shane. Shane says, Fogle and Costin are exactly what this team needed. Those two are going hard. Janmark, smart player for 97. Bouchard really worries me. I have seen Norris candidate in his future last year. Now I see press box worried for sure. Massive win, boys. Hashtag let's go Oilers. That's from Shane via Twitter. Shane points out something that is becoming it was maybe a bit of a murmur, then it turned into a bit of a grumble, and now it's getting louder and louder, and that's the what the heck's going on with Evan Bouchard. Cass, I've said it at times, whether it's on this show or whether it's on our other shows on our stations, these are his growing pains. To those like Shane that are starting to have serious concerns about Evan Bouchard, what are you seeing? What would you tell them?
Well, I mean, I have some growing pain concerns about him too. I do think that he has struggled. I thought he struggled again today in specific instances where there's a few when he did what he does when he struggles, which is he just holds onto the puck too long. He just hesitates and it's like he's second or third guessing. And he makes mistakes when he does that. So, and second, I would say, and I noticed this on a play when he was running in zone or skating in zone, engaging physically, is he still just doesn't know how to push players, how to lean on players, how to use his size on players. And if he's going to continue to struggle, I mean, that's going to be the area where he does. He needs to figure that out.
Yeah.
He needs to figure that out. Yeah. And growing pains or not, I mean, it's an area of his game that he has to improve.
Maybe this is too easy to suggest. Is it just Dave Manson working with him? Like, I remember watching in the shortened season, the 56-game season, when he barely played, what did he get into, like 14 games? Jim Playfair worked with him every single day on all kinds of stuff. I remember him working on the left side of the blue line, picking up pucks off the wall on his backhand, drills where he was moving around, handling, getting in puck touches and finding lanes to shoot. Like, is it that? Is it just on Dave Manson to do that? Is there someone else that needs to take him under their wing and show him some things? Or is it just he's got to work his way out of this rut? Like, is there a simple solution, Cass? I mean, for a player, everybody's different. They're all in their own headspace. But what's a process that could help get him back to the Bouchard we saw late last season and into the playoffs?
Well, if he's in a spot here where in historically, if he's a player that does better with extra coaching, with extra work, with extra time, you know, he's got to be mature enough to know that that's what he needs and to go ask for that. If Manson isn't pushing him with that, he needs to go ask for it. With that being said, I mean, the tough thing is that physical part and that physical game, that's not something you just... It's really tough to coach that into players. You can coach body positioning. You can coach foot positioning. You can coach all kinds of things. Really tough to coach some of that aggressive intent. So it's going to be, I think, a real challenge for Bouchard because he's got to find a way here to increase that part of his game. And I don't know if you can just expect the coaches to do it. I mean, he's got to find a way to do it himself and to pull that from within, which isn't going to be an easy task, I don't think.
Bouchard, 1946 time on ice, 2 minutes, 18 seconds on the power play, 1:42 on the PK, -1, 2 penalty minutes, 1 hit, 2 block shots, 2 giveaways. This text comes in and says, Bouchard is looking like Justin Schultz 2.0. He's not playing well this year, but let's please not run him out of town. That comes in from Ho Daddy. And I always make the comparison not to Justin Schultz with Bouchard. I think of Jeff Petrie because Jeff Petrie had moments like this. And I remember he had struggles and he's a big, tall guy. He was lanky and then eventually put on weight and muscle and became more aggressive like overnight. It was like as soon as he got to Montreal, the light bulb went off for him. But he was caught in a rut here in Edmonton. You hope that doesn't happen with Evan Bouchard. Like, I still think that he could still take that path, Cass. Is that, you know, wishful thinking?
No, it's not. He's still really young, Tom. He's still really young. So the potential for that is there. And we have seen, and let's not forget this, we have seen when Evan Bouchard is playing really well, how he's playing. We have seen him in the playoffs have a significant level of success for the Edmonton Oilers and be a, as the texter said, be a Norris level caliber defenseman looking like he is or could be. So there's still that potential there. There's still that possibility there. He's just got to find a way out of this slow thinking rut that he's stuck in right now.
10-12-60, if you want to get in on the conversation, let us know your thoughts. And we've got a text that came in from Coach Mike. It's in regard to Dylan Holloway. Coach Mike asks, what's the point of having Holloway up with this team under 5 minutes in ice time? No shifts in the third. Send him down. Let him develop. Heck, maybe even send Shore down as well. I don't think Shore will be sent down. He's kind of a utility player, if you will. Holloway stat line tonight. Donuts when it comes to points and plus minus, 2 penalty minutes, and then also no shots, no hits, no block shots, no giveaways, no takeaways. 4 minutes and 40 seconds time on ice, 1 minute on the power play. Cass, you've been saying all along, get him playing 20 minutes with confidence in Bakersfield. When is that happening? Would that be as soon as this trip or no?
I hope so. I mean, if you wanted to give him... Yeah, if you wanted to give him a little bit of time post-injury to try to work in and to see where he fits and to let him get healthy and to build some confidence, I mean, you've had that now. He's had that now. He needs to play. We don't want to see him wrecked here. We don't want to see his confidence so completely shot and him have to try to turn into this, you know, a role-playing player when he needs to be a player that plays a skill game. I mean, he's a skill player, or he should be a skill player, but you can't have him playing 4 nights or 4 minutes a night, it's just not going to happen. Like, he's not going to develop. So I get concerned, Tom, at this point. I mean, he's not playing enough, and you need to send him down. Call up Brad Malone, call up somebody else, but he needs to play. He needs to play. You want him to be here long term and to be a part of it and to be an important part of it. Let the kid play. Not helping him by being here, I don't think.
Good news. Brad Malone has been recalled. I saw him in the press box tonight. Good to catch up with him. So we'll see. I'm sure Malone in action on this upcoming trip. Cass, I think you're right. Not that I doubted you before. I was liking what I was seeing. I was enticed by Dylan Holloway, but I think you're right. absolutely, 110% agree. Get him into big minutes with Bakersfield and get that offensive juices flowing again. We have a call. It's Fred who wants to chat about the Oilers 4-3 overtime win over the Golden Knights. Good evening, Fred. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, Tommy boy, that reminds me of an old overtime winner. I remember you back when you played on the Red Wings and you scored a goal like that, but just kidding.
No, thanks, Fred.
What an overtime winner. But you're talking about Evan Bouchard. Well, we got to remember, who was he playing with last year?
Duncan Keith.
There you go. Duncan Keith, three-time Stanley Cup winner, gold medal winner, Norris Defenseman of the Year. That's who they're missing back there this year. A guy like that with so much experience, he just settled everybody down. But Bouchard will be okay. He's going through a bit of a rough patch right now, but I'm not really that concerned about it. But I tell you, that Kostin and Janmark, that Kostin. Now, here's the thing. Would you rather have Kostin up with McDavid or Janmark? Because Kostin, I think, could handle it, and he's a big boy, kind of along the same lines of Evander Kane. What do you think?
I liked what I saw from Kostin, but the question with him, or the knock, I guess, has been his motor isn't always running. It has been since he's gotten up here. I liked what he did. I thought that line, when it was out there with Puljujärvi and McLeod, looked good. It's been encouraging, but like Janmark gets a look on the McDavid line tonight with Hyman, and he was hanging on to the puck. He was making things happen. He was trying. Like Cass said a couple of times, you know, a couple of pucks led to turnovers off of his stick. But I thought what he did was encouraging tonight. I don't think he's a long-term solution. Cass, what would you say to Fred about Kostin and what we saw from Janmark too?
Yeah, well, not a long-term solution, as you said, I think. Now, Janmark maybe, you know, a little more NHL experience. Kostin, as you said, can be a little streaky. Now, is he a guy that at times you can throw up there to give him an opportunity to let him try to get a little bit of a different look, get some physicality, you know, do some different things up front? Sure. Absolutely. Let's give him a look on occasion. I don't think he's a long-term solution. I mean, and really, Tom, your long-term solution is Evander Kane coming back and getting healthy. I mean, that's the big part of it. But, as a guy that maybe potentially you could put in there and have a look. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm open to that. Why wouldn't we want to try that out and see if he could take it, you know,
by committee, man, that next man up mentality. Fred, are you still there? Yep.
I'm still here. One question for Matt there.
Yes, sir.
Do the Oilers need a guy that can take care of things, or what do you feel about that? I think they should bring in somebody, not necessarily drop the gloves all the time, but if there is a issue, somebody that could take care of that issue.
Yeah, I mean, Fred, that's just not a part of the game anymore, and I don't know that that's going to make a massive difference. I don't know that it's going to make a massive difference. Now, maybe it does. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't see it as being an overly necessary thing to take a look at, or type of player to take a look at.
Yeah, I agree. Monday night's going to be a big, tough game. Hopefully Oilers are up. New Jersey is one of my favorite teams to watch now. Lots of firepower. They just won their 12th game in a row tonight, so it should be interesting Monday night. But hey, boys, have a great night, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for the call, Fred. Good to hear from you. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. And like Fred was alluding to, the Devils on that massive winning streak, they spank Ottawa 5-1 earlier today. Keep those texts coming in, 10-12-60. There's a couple I want to read here. We will get to some audio coming up shortly. Kyle says, send Holloway down, call up James Hamblin. He had a great camp, couldn't hurt. Another one from Craig says, let's give some love to Kostin. Kostin, he's a beast, awesome, hellacious hits. Keep your head up, go Oil. And then Matt said, I read somewhere that they were planning on sending Holloway down when Benson's conditioning stint is over. I can't remember where I read it. It's possible you're going to need to fill a hole on the roster. And Benson's that guy that had more than a cup of coffee last year. Connor Halley, did you have something for us?
We have another caller here.
Oh, who's on the line?
I like to call him Bison Mask Guy.
Bison Mask Guy. All right. Come on in, Bison Mask Guy. What do you got for us after that 4-3 Oilers win on the spectacular McDavid goal?
Hey, Tommy, you just said it. Spectacular. We were there. Fans were into it. It was, it almost was like playoff atmosphere in Rogers Place. It seemed pretty well. I was just looking. You know, people have been saying we should bring in a tough guy, kind of like that. I'm looking towards, like, Max Domi from Chicago, $3 million contract, 1 year. You can bring him, see if you can bring him at 1.5. I think it provides what Evander Kane can does, as, not as a higher rate as Evander Kane, but he's right there, and I think he can, contribute on McDavid or Draisaitl line.
I don't mind that idea, and you know, Domi's on that Chicago team. Him and Athanasiou, like, they just have sweetheart situations. They're going to get tons of ice time. They're going to rack up points and just make themselves juicy trade deadline acquisitions. Cass, what would you say about Domi? The guy brings a certain element that the Oilers don't have. He's got that grit, not the biggest guy, but he has a ton of skill, like Bison Mask Guy says.
Yeah, I mean, he's a multidimensional player that way, right, where he can play that physical game. He can engage like that, but he can score goals too, and chip in offensively. So he can play in the offensive zone and be a regular contributor. So I don't mind that. I mean, if you're looking
good idea
early, I would say for the Oilers, I think that's a decent idea. Now, the question is when Evander Kane comes back, how are you going to make it work from the cap? That's right. The big question. The other big question, Tommy, is what do you have to give up? If you're getting Chicago to eat salary, what are you giving up?
Well, I have a very simple solution. It might be too simple, but do you want to take a wild guess?
Well, it starts with a J and ends with an RB.
Yeah, something like that. I do like that name that Bison Mask Guy brought up in Max Domi, like a hired gun at the end of the season. That's one that you look at and you go, that just might work. That just might work in time. But you're right, Cass. There is that little predicament that is the cap. And it's going to be interesting to see. Bison Mask Guy, thanks for the call. I like that. Chew on that one. Max Domi at the deadline. Orange and blue. You think that would work? Interesting. Here's one more thing that I thought of. You know, we were talking about Bouchard. We're talking about, you know, what does Dave Manson do? What does Evan Bouchard have to do to find his game again? Fred brought up Duncan Keith. Cass, could they, I don't know, this is just crazy. Could they, now that Duncan Keith works for the organization, when he's in town, say, can you please go on the ice and work with these guys a little bit?
Well, maybe.
Do you think that would be worth doing?
Maybe. Worth taking a look at for Evan Bouchard. I mean, if he's struggling and continues to struggle, it's worth a shot, Tommy. Why wouldn't you be like, hey, can you at least talk to him? Try to calm him down. Can you at least coach him through a couple things, work on a few things? Tom, I'm totally, totally would be open to that idea.
I mean, he works for you, for crying out loud. He doesn't live too far away. He's been here a couple of times. I've seen him up in the press box during games. Paul Coffey's around. I know Paul Coffey's of a different generation. You have these assets that you're paying for within the organization. Keith is, 7 months removed from his last NHL game? Hey, Duncan, we've got a pair of your skates in the back room. You want to go work with Evan a little bit? I don't mind that idea. Let's go to another call. We've got Tyler, the postman, on the line. Good evening, Tyler. Oilers 4-3 winners over the Golden Knights. What are you thinking? What's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, gentlemen. You guys are doing a great job. I just, I'm a long-time listener, small-time caller, but I just wanted to talk about like the handful of defensemen we have that, you know, the young guys that haven't played much, maybe under 300, and you know, I feel like maybe shipping them out for somebody that it played over 300, that's a proven defenseman, you know, a bird in the hat. It might be better than what they may turn into. And that, I feel like we're always hoping on young defensemen to be the next this or that, and just never really pans out. And I feel like maybe Niemelainen and Broberg, Bouchard, they may only ever turn out to be Tom Gilbert or Jeff Petrie or Tom Pody, or, you know, like they're just going to be B+. You know, so what do you think about that?
Cass?
Yeah. I would say it's still hard to say. Well, actually, in that list that you just named, I mean, Petrie is and has been a pretty good defenseman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
Tom Pody had a long career.
Yeah, Tom Pody did too. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to look forward to that and project. I mean, and that's what everyone's trying to do. And if I'm thinking about Evan Bouchard again, I go to how he played in the playoffs, and I'm like, okay, there's something there. So I don't know. I'm not ready to say he is or he's going to cap out at a B+ defenseman, but for the sake of the organization, he needs to improve, right? He just needs to get better, Tommy.
Yeah. Interesting theory though, Tyler the Postman. We'll see. It depends too, I think, on the value and where the organization thinks Bouchard will get to level wise if they're willing to have patience. Philip Broberg, obviously a little bit behind him, but that's a consideration as well. And you heard earlier that there were some rumblings that people want Chychrun around here. Of course, the Oilers are going to put in a phone call, but if it starts with a Broberg as an ask, the Oilers are a little bit hesitant to go that route. Tyler the Postman, appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. All right, we've got to step out. When we return, we will get to some audio from the Oilers' 4-3 win in OT over the Golden Knights. A big win to get going on that road trip, a tough one through the New York area. Cass, we will bid you adieu. Fantastic stuff, as always, my friend, and be ready to go for that big game against New Jersey on Monday.
Absolutely, guys. It'll be a fun one.
Yes, sir. All right. More when we return right here on the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
We return to the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show with Tom Gazzola and Connor Halley on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
/16 in Edmonton. Hope you're enjoying your Saturday night. The Oilers with a nice 4-3 overtime victory over the Vegas Golden Knights. They will face Vegas three more times this season. I'll give you those dates as these two Pacific Division teams generally make for some exciting hockey. So they play tonight. They will meet again January 14th in Vegas. Then it's March 25th here in Edmonton. And then three nights later on the 28th in Vegas, they will close out the season series. That's a big win for the Oil. Vegas has lost just two games on the road, one in regulation, one in OT tonight. And they've got eight wins away from Sin City. If you want to get in on the conversation, join it. 1012-60, you know the number. And slap your name on those texts. Don Wheaton, GM on White, your dealer for Cadillac, Buick, Chevrolet, and GMC. Jack says, I'm interested to see when Benson gets back in the lineup. He could be the bottom six pest they need. And Jack also adds, it is very satisfying to beat two opponents at once. Vegas and the officials. Yeah, we've had some texts coming in about the officials. Again, they're generally pretty bad across the board. I actually went for lunch today, Connor, and I'm pretty sure the officiating crew was sitting right beside me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like,
What'd they order?
I don't care. I don't care.
Something that sucks.
If you're a ref or a linesman out there, I don't like refs in hockey, but I'm sure you're nice people, so please don't take it as a slight. I'm pretty sure those are the refs today, and I just kind of rolled my eyes and enjoyed my meal by myself. I digress. Let's go inside the Oilers locker room, and first up, we're going to hear from Stuart Skinner.
That was a great goal, and happy to get the win.
So what is it like having him on your team?
I mean, what can you say? He's best player in the world for a reason, and like having him, he's just such a threat offensively. He's just one of the best players. I mean, what else can you say?
What's the difference between a shootout and a penalty shot in game?
To be honest, just the timing of it. Besides that, it's pretty well the same. Obviously, it was tough timing. I mean, second period, right off the bat, I think it was fairly early, and that's my bad, and next time I'll have it.
I wouldn't say it was your fault or anything.
Sorry?
First penalty shot Stone's ever had.
Oh, really?
Career. It was a pretty good move.
Yeah, it was a good one. I think he lifted it up 2 inches off the ice, and I just wasn't quick enough to get down there. He's got a bullet, and he scored two tonight. His second one was a great shot, too. I'm just going to learn from those and move on.
You're still relatively new at doing this at this level, and it's gone well for you this year. How much do each of these little victories just kind of help piece the big picture together for you confidence-wise?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, obviously, I'm learning that it's really hard to win in this league, and being able to get this one, especially against a team that's as hot as Vegas, I mean, it feels great. Feels good for the confidence, and we just got to kind of roll off this. And I thought the way we played, we just got to keep on playing that way, and I think we'll have some success.
So just to follow up on that, because you've talked about how important wins are to you, that matter more than anything else. That's why you're in this game, to actually get this result after, you know, stringing together some good results personally, but not getting wins. How does that feel tonight?
I mean, it's big. The win, getting the win in the game is the most important thing, right? That's how you get into the playoffs. That's how you get to win the Stanley Cup. So that's obviously our objective, and being able to do that as much as we can is the big thing for every team.
That's Stuart Skinner, who picks up his fourth win of the season. Good showing for the young Oilers netminder. 31 saves on 34 shots in 61-17 time on ice. Well done to Stuart Skinner. All right, back inside the Oilers locker room we go. It is the hero of the night, Mr. Connor McDavid.
Some really stuff, hey?
Personally, yeah. It was ugly right from the start for me. I fought the puck all night and changed sticks a couple times and dropped my stick, lost my mouth guard a bunch of times. It was ugly, but obviously sticking with it and finding a way to contribute to a game.
When you're going through it, you're kind of going like, what's happening? Or that doesn't happen to you like almost never, basically?
It happens. It happens to everybody. You know, it's something that you go through. And, I was fighting the puck all night and a couple terrible plays. And, I was just trying to be on the right side of the puck all night and not give up anything defensively and, pitch in when I could and, make it count when you got your chance.
And then it changes in the third. You came out the very first shift confident, had a chance. Second shift, sent Janmark in alone. You went in alone. It's like whatever you had to solve, you managed somehow to solve it. Bad to good so quick.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure, but these nights happen. I look back at maybe a game against New York last year, where I scored that goal. I was kind of bad all night again and fighting it. And there's nights like that where you just don't have it. And tonight was that night for me. And the boys did a great job of playing and giving us a chance. And I was just trying to contribute when I got my chance.
First overtime game. Not that you wanted to be there, especially because you had the lead. But what was it like to 3-on-3 and you and Leon and Darnell and just what turned out to be the win?
It's something that we like to do, and we probably extended ourselves a little bit too long, but like I said, we made it count.
So this is the game that you're looking for. You're playing a good team, stick with it, tough, hard, one goal game all the way through. Would the job now be to try to come up with this effort and a little more consistency?
It's consistency. We've kind of been up and down and riding the road. It's something that you just can't do. on a nightly basis in this league. You got to find ways to have it every night, and when you don't win with your B and C game. So you know, obviously a big road trip for us in New York, and playing a couple teams that are red hot, and you know, a good chance for us to build some momentum on this trip.
Does this feel like kind of a road effort tonight? Like the way that you guys have played on the road, do you feel like you're bringing that?
Yeah, you know, we've had success on the road and haven't found it yet at home. You know, so I thought we played a gritty, sound game, and just gave ourselves a chance. You know, that was kind of it. They're a good team. They've been playing really well, and you know, we knew they're, I think they've scored the most goals around the league, so they're an offensive powerhouse, and just trying to kind of maintain and you know, make our chance count when we got it.
Was it nice to see some guys who got some opportunity tonight, like in Costin and Gadmar and Fogle, really just
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I thought Clem has, or Costin has been, you know, really good for us since coming into the lineup. He's a big body, skates well, he's got some skill. He gets on the forecheck and provides a lot of momentum for us. And I thought Fogg's played well, and Janmark's been great too. So it's nice to see those guys stepping up and helping out.
That's Connor McDavid, a goal and an assist on the night, plus one for McDavid, 54% on the dot, 23-12 time on ice. He said that he was fighting it a couple of times. Puck was bobbling on his stick, trying to make plays, and he, in his words, said brutal. But then in the third period, because he's so good, he turns it around so quickly and gets that absolutely brilliant overtime winner. All right, one more time. To the Oilers locker room we go. It is head coach Jay Woodcroft.
He's there that helped us win the game. He's special, and you know, it came through when it mattered most. And in the end, our team found the win. He's a huge part of it.
That's all coaching, right? You must be giving him a pep talk.
No, that was you know, a very determined and serious player who wanted to go out and find the 2 points for our team and make plays down the stretch. Well, I like that he had that about him. He, you know, he wasn't sitting back or anything like that. He, you know, I think if you look at the play he made on that overtime goal, the way he took Peter Angelo's stick and then created a little bit of separation, I think anybody can see blood. He's one of the special ones that can smell it.
Team, I mean, I know you probably didn't love giving the point back, but still, this was one of those wins against a real good team coming in. Do you feel like you can build off something like this?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you can see why they're the top team in the Pacific Division, one of the best teams in the National Hockey League, and why they're at the metrics they're at and everything like that. But I thought it was a competitive game. I thought we started the way we wanted to start. It didn't go perfect. It wasn't always pretty and nice out there, but we found a way to win against a really good team, and that's... Talk about a building block. Yeah, it's a real building block. We're going to enjoy this game. We're going to travel right, and we're going to get prepared to take on another elite team, a team that's won 12 in a row. And when you can beat a team like Vegas, like we did tonight, for sure it's a starting point or a building block, especially going in on this important road trip.
The line, Cloud, Costa, and Pugliarvi were pretty good.
Yeah. I thought, well, they're big, right? They're all three large human beings that you know, we've tasked with trying to play some heavy hockey, you know, possessing the puck in the offensive zone, grinding teams down. I thought they did a few things. They drew a penalty. They had
at the end of the Florida trip, you talked about playing how much better you guys have played on the road and wanting to bring that home. Did you feel like that before?
Well, you know what? I would say even the game that we played against LA, it wasn't perfect or whatnot, but we lost a 2-1 hockey game on home ice. We had the opportunity to win that game. I think our team has really tightened up here over the last little while, especially on the penalty kill, on our 5-on-5 goals against what we're giving up. We're not perfect, but we're building. And I think anytime you lose two top nine forwards the way we did 5 games ago when when 4 or 5 games ago when Kane and Yamo went down, you have to ask people to step up, and we've had that, and some of them have been surprises, like Spekta talked about Kostin. But how about the game Janmark played tonight? I thought he was excellent. He's really skating, he's giving us a dimension, and so that's the side benefit of when you don't have a full lineup, is that it allows other people to step up, and we're finding some players who really want more ice time.
Did you like kind of Skinner's battle level tonight?
Yeah.
Stuck with it too?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't an easy game for him to play as well. I think... it was nice to see him get a win at home. Dustin Schwartz and I were talking about that this morning, and Jim had asked the question about how, there's almost the statistics were an anomaly for not having more wins. So for him to find a way to win at home, which was his first win at home, I believe, here, I was happy for him. And in the end, if he keeps playing the way he is, he gives us a chance to win every night. And he made the right saves at the right time.
You know, Yamamoto will join you on the road?
Well, he had a good day today, so we're just taking it one day at a time with him. He skated. He looks better. He's feeling better. We're going to take it one day at a time. So whether that's if he comes with us or he meets us out there, we'll see.
Stu's playing first game of the road.
We'll see. I haven't even had time to digest this one, Jim.
You're just talking about how well he's playing.
Well, he is playing. Yeah, he is playing. Yeah, he's playing really well, and I'm happy for him. I'm excited to go watch him on After Hours.
Yes, indeed. Stuart Skinner, big night for him. First home win for Skinner this season. Fourth of the year. 31 save performance. Let's get to some texts here via the inbox. 10-12-60, if you want to get in on the conversation. This one from Dirty Curdy says, Connor McCheek code with the win. Skinner solid again. Murray was a train wreck out there. Yikes. Send Holloway down already. Let's get this kid some ice time. Play La Bamba, baby. That text via Dirty Curdy. The rookie says, most importantly, Oilers are 3-0 when Warren, the answer, Fogel scores. Thank you. Good point. Good point, the rookie. Appreciate that very much. And then this one from Chris H. says, one thing about McDavid that separates from all players all time, don't matter the era, is that he has the significant, magnificent, mind-boggling goals almost every game or two games. Lemieux-esque. Pavel Bure goes consistently. That is just different. Yeah, it's something to behold, and I appreciate the fact and never take it for granted that we get to watch that young man performed the way he does here in good old our town. All right, more of your texts when we return. 10-12-60 if you want to jump in on the conversation. Edmonton gets a 4-3 overtime win over the Vegas Golden Knights. It's off to New Jersey on Monday, Long Island on Wednesday, and the trip wraps up in Manhattan 11 a.m. next Saturday. The Oilers hit the road after a big 4-3 win over Vegas. This is the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show on TSN 1260. 11:37 in Edmonton. Hope you're enjoying your Saturday. The Oilers with a nice 4-3 overtime win over the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas with its second loss away from the Fortress, a.k.a. T-Mobile Arena. And this one is their first in OT, Edmonton's first overtime game this season, and they get the win in spectacular fashion via Connor McDavid. What else is new? 10-12-60 if you want to get a text in under the wire as we get set to wrap here on the postgame show. Gazzola and Halley with you, and by the way, Don Wheaton, GM on White, your dealer for Cadillac, Buick, Chevrolet, and GMC. Connor, we had Cass on earlier. We had a bunch of calls, which is always great. We didn't hear from you about the game. You were watching it. You were intently keeping an eye on things. What'd you think tonight, pal?
Oh, Tom, I mean, it was a fun game to watch. Some good back and forth, and, you get a chance to see some of the real talent that the Vegas Golden Knights have. I get some of the fans' frustration with the refs, but, you hope it balances out throughout the season, and maybe the Oilers get a couple breaks here and there, but they found a way to get the job done. I thought Stuart Skinner, for the most part, he faced 34 shots. He was busy and did a very good job. I mean, he was whacked a little bit. He was ran into, but he kept his composure, continuing to show the maturity beyond his years. So I thought overall, you know, a good game. Connor McDavid, funny to hear him talk about how, you know, wasn't having a good game. I was bobbling things like, dude, you're the best player in the world. You still had a good game. But if that's what you have to tell yourself and, you know, you want to redeem yourself in overtime, that's fine by me. He's just absolutely filthy out there. So obviously things the Oilers can clean up. I'm sure, you know, if they go back and watch it on film, there's going to be things they can work on. But you got the 2 points at the end of the night. You'd rather have done it in regulation and not gave the Knights the point as well. But what can you do? Take the points, move on. Happy flight when you head out east.
Happy flight indeed, heading to the New York area. The team takes off tomorrow. This text from GJ says, McLovin, Fogel, making use of top 6 minutes. Nice to see Kostin and Janmark contribute. Skinner earning that net. Thanks for the text, GJ. Cal says, honorable mentions to Kostin and Janmark. Yep, they've been a nice little boost to the lineup, haven't they? And this one from Farmer Scott. He's not having it tonight when it comes to JP. He says Puljujärvi is dead weight. Trade him for something soon. Farmer Scott, I understand the sentiment. Trading him, not as easy as some might think. There's a lot of scouts who've been watching him, and the reviews have not been great, regardless of his analytics. Let's go back inside the Oilers locker room one more time. It is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who had himself a decent night. 3 assists. Plus one, 2 penalty minutes, a shot, 2 hits, 1 block shot, 1 giveaway, 1 takeaway. He won all the jaws he took. 22-12 time on ice. Let's hear from the Nuge.
First one, but yeah, I mean, that's a good team over there too, and I thought we played a better full 60 tonight, and obviously we'd like to close it out with 8, but you give that team a chance and they're gonna put one in, so obviously huge to come out the 2 points, just a special play there.
Is there a fun factor in a game like this? Can you enjoy it even though it is, you know, stressful and lots on the line?
I mean, it's fun to play good teams. I mean, it definitely is. You got to rise to the occasion, and this has been one of the hottest teams in the league so far, so we knew that coming in, and obviously we need to step our game up, and so to get the 2 points against that team is definitely big, and we got to keep that feeling going on the road here.
Connor kind of fired it up in that third period. There was that spin play off the wall. I think everybody kind of went and then the goal. I mean
obviously when he turns it on, it's fun to watch, and big moments he's there, so definitely was a big one tonight to get that second point.
It was weird. He fought the puck for 2 periods, it looked like, which is something we never see.
Well,
I'm not criticizing
his, maybe his long version of fighting the puck, but we'd all like to fight it like that for sure, and he stuck with it, and obviously you got to be confident to be able to make that play.
I wish I had that same problem if I fought the puck the way McDavid seemed to tonight. My goodness, that would be just a tremendous issue to be having to deal with. Well said by Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. 3 assists on the night for Nugent-Hopkins. He's putting together a pretty solid first quarter of this season. Nugent-Hopkins with his 3 assists tonight. Now up to 20 points on the season, 8 goals and 12 assists. All right, Walker postgame Ranger is off tonight. Well-deserved day off. So, Connor Halley, you stepped in for him. We appreciate that. As always, great team player, as everyone knows. But we always do the Walker postgame Ranger gold star of the game. So, in honor of that, it's the Connor Halley gold star of the game in honor of Walker postgame Ranger. Just rolls right off the tongue.
It's a little
right
wordy.
Off the tongue.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
hey.
So easy. I don't even know. I wrote it down somewhere, but that's right off the top of my tongue and tip of my tongue and top of my head. So because it's such a notable, prestigious award, will you do the honors tonight, Connor Halley?
Could we call it like Halley's shining star, like kind of like Halley's comet, but Halley's shining star of the game?
Oh,
could we do that? Maybe
we could. Remember, we had the shining star of the game last season. No longer sponsored. We had to come up with something new.
I mean, I love the gold star. It's
use it by its formal name. Thank you.
Oh, so What is the full thing, Jeff?
It's the Walker Postgame Ranger Gold Shining Star of the Game. Hello.
Oh my! It rolls off the tongue. Well, yeah, I'm. You know what? I can't give it to someone who was fighting the puck for the majority of the game. So Connor McDavid, I'm sorry. You're not worthy this time.
That's shade.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, that's what they say. He was fighting the puck, apparently. Can't give it to him. You know, I'm going to give it to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. 3 assists, going out there, doing what he can do. Had 2 assists, 5-on-5, 1 on the power play. I love it. I thought about going with Stuart Skinner, but I'm going with the Nuge. He's been huge this year. He's really come on strong as of late. So I'm going to give it to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Nice. I like that very much. And you filled in admirably for Jeff Walker, the postgame ranger tonight. So Nugent Hopkins, he is your Halley star of the game, shining star, comet, shooting star of the game. Nugent Hopkins, 20 points in 18 games this season, 8 goals, 12 assists. Any texts that we need to get to here to wrap things up?
You know, I mean, I think you got through a good chunk of them here.
I think we got through the majority of them. Yeah. There we go. Jet Label Doug gets the last word with great game. Another great Oilers win, but fly, Eagles, fly. 8-1, baby. Jet Label Doug, enjoy your Sunday full of NFL football. Grey Cup. Grey Cup tomorrow. Argos, Bombers. Who you got, Connor?
I said it on the show on Friday with Gregor. I'm taking the underdog. Let's go, Boatman.
I think the Argos peak at the right time in Regina. That does it for the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show. For Connor Halley and Matt Cassian, I'm Tom Gazzola saying have a great night. You wanted to throw in one more last thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, if people want to watch a little or listen to a little World Cup action tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., Ecuador and Qatar, it's all getting going. So we'll have that for you here on TSN 1260 and then Canada and Belgium on Wednesday.
That's why you're TSN 1260 Shining Star, Connor Halley. All right, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Ciao for now. Play La Bamba, baby.